Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. This will be another attempt at reviewing a music album, much like what I did for VOK 234, although this time it's a slightly more successful album, and that is a massive understatement. My name is Glenn, I am Dago Shrivers from the podcast Ice and Fire Forums. Today I will be reviewing 25 by popular British artist Adele, which has been a gargantuan success the world over, and we're talking every known country in the world. So here's what you have in store for you whilst you listen to this podcast. So I will review the first studio album by Adele, go over the track by track review for each song, and I will also sprinkle in some little tiny facts, hopefully some information you didn't know about Adele throughout the recording. So starting in 2008, when Amy Winehouse was tearing up the charts with Back to Black, and she was the biggest celebrity, certainly music artist in the UK and possibly the world. And of course, whenever something is really successful, something that's shown great success, then it's always what's next. So we've seen that with Harry Potter, and we've seen that with Game of Thrones. It's always about what's next, what's the next Game of Thrones, what's the next Harry Potter. So the same thing happens with music, which is how Adele emerged in the beginning of 2008. She, along with two other artists, were the three new Amys, according to the press. However, Adele did have an advantage of winning the BBC Sound Off, which is a poll where DJs of the biggest radio station in the UK predict who will find success for this year. And they're usually pretty good at predicting that sort of thing. So the previous year, Mika was the winner of the BBC Sound Off, and he went on to have one of the biggest selling albums of that year. And it was number one of the year up until around Christmas time, when it dropped down a few places. But the other Amys would be Duffy, so a Welsh songwriter who found fame in Wales back in 2002 by being a contestant on The War Factor, which was similar to American Idol, similar to The X Factor. She was second place, released an album, it didn't really find much success. She signed to a new record label, and this time she came back with an amazing pop song called Mercy. She certainly brought the storm. So Mercy was a huge number one in the UK. It went on to find a lot of success in America, and the album Rock Fairy that Duffy released was the biggest album of the year. So that's when I thought, oh well, the BBC don't really know much, because Duffy did way better than Adele. The other less known Amy to emerge was Gabriella Chilney, who was an Australian artist, 16 years old at the time, who released a song called Sweet About Me that did quite well. So it was a top 10 hit in the UK and did well in her native market, Australia. But she didn't really find much success after that. Her album was a top 10. She wasn't able to maintain that success for the second album. She was, incidentally, the support act for a concert I went to for Leona Lewis back in 2010, and that's the last that I actually heard from her. But just to give you a picture of that Adele emerged, there was so much hype and expectation. She didn't really meet expectation with that first album, although successful, hugely successful, and certainly every artist would want to start off with those album sales numbers. I imagine there was still a bit of disappointment that she wasn't able to overtake Duffy, at least. So Adele's debut album was called 19, and then that was followed up by this the album of the century 21, but we'll get into that later on. But one thing that always disturbed me, something that always plagued my mind, is why is it called 19? Why is it called 21? Because she's not, she's older than that. So when she was 19, when she was 20 years old, 19 was released, and then when she was 23, that's when 21 was released. So that was picked up on Graham Norton, thankfully, so I finally got the answer to that question on the Graham Norton Adele at the BBC show that the BBC produced. So that was a show entirely devoted to Adele. She performed tracks from the album, tracks from her old albums, and a good showcase of her music, and a huge promotional opportunity for her. And that's where the popular video that you might have seen came from, where Adele is undercover as a tribute act for herself and meets all the other tribute acts, and then she surprises them when she performs the Bob Dylan song Make You Feel My Love. That was a big talking point on social media. It was featured on Gogglebox and it was a huge hit on YouTube. So in answer to that question, Adele titles those albums because that is the year that she begins writing the album, where she gets in that zone of writing down her thoughts, what she wants to talk about, what story she wants to talk about in her new album. But she has sort of fallen into the trap of always sticking to that format with her albums, so numbers or ages. And that was actually picked up on an Alan Carr Chatty Man special from 5 years ago, so this popular show in the UK on Channel 4. So a stand-up comedian who has turned into a late-night talk show host. And he made the joke that if you keep going like this, he showed her an album cover of 87, and she was this haggard old woman with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and it was sort of like a horror story. But then on the flip side, it can be exciting because it's always the question of, oh, what's the next album going to be called? Will it be 28? Will it be 29? Will it be 30? Because I did that with the past albums. When 21 was released, I thought, okay, the next one must be 23. But little did I know it would be 25 eventually when she got around to it. The album and news of the album sort of slipped under the radar. There was some talks about it, but there was largely no information available until, I think, beginning of October. There was something massive on social media that news broke that a snippet of Adele's latest song or latest single appeared during the advert break of The X Factor. I believe it was the first live show of The X Factor. And I was sort of disappointed to have missed that, because I remember I was at a party, at a small house party at the time, and we were just sitting around watching The X Factor, eating some munchies. We had paused or skipped past the adverts and I had missed it, but I know if I had watched it at the time, I would have recognised it instantly. It would have been a hair-raising moment. I would have loved it. But that's the thing with adverts, mostly with the digital era and with so much technology, we can skip these things. We can skip adverts. We have Sky Plus on-demand streaming services. So it's rare to experience a moment like that. Although, in saying that, some are, if I'm fast-forwarding and I notice an advert I like, I'll stop and just watch it, because there are some that I really enjoy. So I'm really enjoying the Oak Furniture adverts, which are adverts in the UK for advertising a furniture company, and it's a double act between a young assistant and the manager, and they always get into shenanigans together. The popular song Knock on Wood by Amy Stewart is playing in the background, so I really love those adverts, and to be honest, I really like them because I have a huge crush on the young assistant in the advert. So the advert happened, and then a few weeks later, Hello had its big debut on Vivo and went on to have a billion views on YouTube, which is phenomenal. And it was also released on iTunes that day, so it went straight to number one in US iTunes. It went straight to number one practically everywhere, so 94 countries on iTunes. So I was really looking forward to the album being released. However, the album was so huge, everywhere wanted a slice of the pie. So here's a story. In the UK, there's this place called WH Smith, which was a large stationery book magazine shop, but they used to sell brand new music albums, they used to sell brand new DVDs, but they've sort of scaled back on that because they weren't making as much profit with Amazon taking over, with HMV. People would always prefer to shop in HMV or shop online, where it would have been 9 times out of 10 cheaper. So now they just have, they still have albums and DVDs, but it's older releases, or it tends to be older releases. But around October, early November, I was in the mood for shopping for a Christmas present for my dad, and he wanted me to buy the Beatles album, which was a remastered edition of their Number Ones album, which included the DVD of the tour as well. But also at the same time, I received some vouchers from my workplace, and they're so specific, you can only use them in certain shops. So that's why I thought I better use these to good use. And WH Smith might sell them because WH Smith accept those vouchers. Thinking also that I know that they don't sell new music releases, but then Beatles one, that would be within their demographic, so it tends to be the older people, mums and dads, that shop in that place. That might be, so that's why they may stock that album, even though it's new, but then it does target the demographics that will visit that shop. So after going to three WH Smith stores and having no luck at all, I phoned in to one of the stores in Hamilton, and they told me the same thing. Oh, we don't sell new stock releases, it's just older back catalogue, so you might have to wait a few months before we actually have it in stock. And I thought, oh, fine, I'll just buy it on Amazon, which I did. However, November time, November 20th, when 25 was released, and I happened to be walking through my town, and what did I see? Adele's album. And it's like, oh, so you change your tune when it's a big album everyone wants to buy, but when it's an album I want, it's a different story. So I was fuming at that, and I just couldn't believe it. But it just shows how huge and anticipated that album was to have it in shops that no longer sell new albums as well. And Adele has been a huge success story. So I was saying earlier that the album, the first album, didn't do as well. The first single she released, Chasing Pavements, that reached number 2 in the charts. The album reached number 1 and sold about 800,000 copies. However, it was the second album, which I bought first day of release, which went on to achieve critical acclaim, winning 6 Grammy Awards, and also commercial appeal, with selling over 30 million albums worldwide, and subverting that trope of a brand new artist coming out, they have all the hype behind them, they make it big, they have a number one, they might have a string of hits, but then the appeal dies down with that second album. But that didn't happen, it was the reverse. So Adele had a subtle release for the first album, some success, and then it was that next album that really put her into the stratosphere. And in a way, it's weird because at the time when she released her album, album sales were still decent at the time, so you could still see 200 in the UK, so 200,000, 300,000 opening week sales, and then album selling 1 million copies by the end of the year. But then with Adele, it stayed in the charts so long, it sold consistently 200,000 each week, and has eventually racked up almost 5 million sales to date. And in fact, when I was talking about Duffy earlier, she is an artist that fits into the first category, where she had a massive first album. However, the second album, she released it around Christmas time, 2010, so a few months before Adele released 21, and she just got lost in the crowd, and the album did not sell as well. Whereas Adele picked the right time, it was and she was able to build momentum in American radio and UK radio. Promotion of the album was phenomenal, and the single release strategy really propelled the album to massive heights, and it led to 25 having the biggest opening sales ever for an album, both in the UK and in America, and probably a lot of other countries which are less publicised. So in the UK, 800,000 bought the album first week, which there is some debate over that, because people believe it's Oasis that have the biggest album. Oasis, Be Here Now, was released in 1997. It achieved 695,000 copies, but for 3 days, a 3 day release. So they released on the Friday, and up until Sunday they sold 695,000. But then there's little information of what it sold the second week, how much it would have sold if it was a 7 day release. I have seen some reports it would have been 813,000, so 7 days after its release it had sold that, but then other reports say 764,000. But regardless of that, it was in the same week, so we have to use that information. So it is the highest selling album ever, and in America outperformed NSYNC's album by over 1 million copies. So it sold 3.4 million in a single week, which no one expected. No one predicted that. A few months back before release, people were saying, oh, well, it beat Britney's opening sales week, and there was still debate of whether that would happen. But to actually go from that to selling twice or triple that amount is just so unprecedented. Anyway, 25 had the massive opening numbers, almost 6 million worldwide in the first week, but has not sold as consistently as 21. So 25 is the Avatar, and then 21 is the Titanic in terms of Adele's career. And 25 has some great tracks within it. It's a great solid album full of original material. So the first time that Adele has released a fully original album, so that's great, some artist progression and development. However, I would say my favourite album of the three is 19. My favourite song by her, Hometown Glory. It has Chasing Pavements, Cold Shoulder, and I love the cover of Make You Feel My Love, which is really the song that caught the public's attention. So she did release the album in 2008. It was mildly successful. Released a few further tracks like Hometown Glory and Cold Shoulder, but they didn't really make much of a mark. But it was really Make You Feel My Love that really caught the public's attention, because that was featured so much on The X Factor that eventually it rose to top 5 in the UK, top 5 in the UK charts, and really gave her a huge boost when promoting the next album, 21, the following January. So in terms of Lemon Cake ratings, I would rate 19 as 4 lemon cakes, 21, 3.5 lemon cakes, and 25, 3.25 lemon cakes. On to track by track. So the opening track on the album is Hello, and it is the best decision the record company made in releasing this single first, because I can see it's the song that has the most impact. It's the catchiest song of the album. It was helped massively by social media and the internet. So you had that X Factor advert, and then that got people talking. Eventually, when the video was released, you had so many people doing their parody versions of it. You had all the memes going out. You had people comparing it to Lionel Richie and Adele, and you had the talk show hosts like Ellen doing jokes around it. And the song achieved massive fame, so 1 billion views on Vivo, which is a nice money spinner for, of course, Adele. It set the most legal downloads in a single week in America, number one in 94 countries on iTunes, and it achieved 10 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And it is fastly becoming Adele's biggest track, or one day it may be the song that she's most remembered for. So that's great for her credibility to have a number of songs that you're remembered for. So not just Someone Like You, but also Hello, also Rolling in the Deep, and Make You Feel My Love. The second track is Send My Love, and it's a potential single. I can see a similar vibe to Rolling in the Deep, so a blues vibe to it. It was co-written by Max Martin, who is a huge hitmaker, and there's a video on YouTube. If you're interested, it'll show you clips of all the tracks that he has had a hand in writing, so famous songs by Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, and countless number one singles that he has written. So it's great that Adele was able to get him on board. The third track is I Miss You, and it's a nice dark song. I really love the beat to it as well. I always had this impression that 21 was about her getting over the breakup of her partner at the time. So she wrote 21, and then 25 feels like a comeback to that, almost like she's switched positions, that she's dumped someone else and she's writing about that. So Hello, I Miss You, and a few other tracks in the album give off that vibe. When We Were Young, which is the second single from the album and fourth track on the album, it does have second single syndrome, where a second single from a huge selling album with a huge selling first single that doesn't really have as much impact, it doesn't really hit the mark like the first single did. And then because a lot of people have already bought the album, it doesn't really help as much to sell the album like the first single did. So a lot of albums have that. So Better In Time from Spirit by Leona Lewis had that same problem. Jessie J's follow-up to Bang Bang had the same issue. So it's really hard to bring out the second single that'll work again with the public. Remedy is the fifth track, and written by Ryan Tedder, who has written a string of hits by a lot of the American Idol alumni. He's written for Ella Henderson, Leona Lewis. He's written a number of hits from his band One Republic, but I would say that it's not as good as Turning Tables from 21, and especially not as good as Rumour Has It, which is one of my favourite tracks from 21. No. Water Under the Bridge is one of the highlights of the album. I believe it could have been a big hit if it was released. I feel it should have been released instead of When We Were Young, but it wasn't. So, however, it just reminds me so much of a song you would hear in a Disney Channel original movie. It has a nice summer vibe to it. It reminds me a lot of the song Shark in the Water by Vivi Brown. She could still be releasing new songs and gaining new fans with a fun summer song. Track 7 is River Lee, and it's underrated within the fandom, so not a lot of people rate it that highly, but it's my second favourite on the album after Hello, and the most played song that I have on my iPod. It's just something really catchy about it that I like. The next two tracks, Love in the Dark and A Million Years, those were songs performed by Adele on the BBC show, so Adele at the BBC, and provided some good samples of the album. However, they usually are the songs I skip when I'm listening to the album, so I've just not got into those songs, and I sort of drift off. I'm not as interested in the music or the lyrics in those songs. Track 10 was a surprising choice at the Grammy Awards, so All I Ask, which she has performed on the James Corden karaoke show, but I would say it's my least favourite song on the album. It just doesn't do it for me. One thing that, and it just seemed like a wasted Grammy Awards performance, which is a massive promotion vehicle. So I feel if it was a different song choice, so Water Under the Bridge, When We Were Young, the current single, then that would have enticed more people to buy the album, or it would have made a huge difference in getting another top 10 from the album. So When We Were Young just missed out on the top 10, landed at number 14, and that was its peak. And potentially the album could have sold another 50,000-100,000 copies as well. The final track of the album is Sweetest Devotion, which I do enjoy singing along to. It's a great closer for the album. However, it's not as good as Hometown Glory, as I said, my favourite song that she's ever done. But overall, it's a solid album. I really enjoy it, love listening to it, but it doesn't have the same appeal as 21 or 19. And hopefully you have enjoyed listening to this review. But thank you once again for listening, and tune in next time.